Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura and I have my sister-in-law, Emily, here with me today. And we're excited because we're talking about a pretty big, hot mom topic. We're talking about sleep and our lack of it or our need for it, or maybe you are one of the lucky few that is feeling like your sleep tank is full right now. But before we get to that, we wanted to just mention to you guys, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, but you can subscribe via email to our shows and our blog posts and all of the content that Risen Mother puts out through an email subscription that we have on our website. So we'll post a link for it in the show notes, or you can head to our homepage, scroll to the very bottom. There's a little form you fill out, and then you will never miss a show. You'll never miss a blog post. And we also have a very fun new newsletter. It's kind of a new endeavor for Risen Motherhood that we're taking on this year that you can also get access to if you subscribe there.
Yes. So we are really excited about that. So talking about sleep, Laura, I am tired as we're recording this.
Me too. Emily and I always pray before the show. And like during the prayer, I was like rubbing my eyes like super deep. You know how good that feels?
It just starts like a downward spiral though of like being more tired. But I think most of us, by the time you have a child in your arms, you've already had a taste of what it feels like to sacrifice, you know, some of your comforts, your desires for the sake of someone else, whether that's through a journey of adoption or because you carried a pregnancy. But it kind of goes to a whole new level whenever you are wanting to sleep, you're completely physically exhausted, and the baby is up in the night crying, or you are up responding to a toddler who is sick, or the number of things that cause a child to wake up in the night. And it can be something over time that starts out as like this joke, but it's not funny. It's like really bad.
I'm laughing now, but you're right. It's so not funny.
When you're on your like seventh cup of coffee and you're like, I'm not waking up anymore. It's not funny.
Oh man.
And I actually had fun doing like a tiny bit of research for this show because it just confirmed everything I thought about what I felt when I'm really, really tired, which is like sleep deprivation makes you stressed out and hungry and moody.
All of those terrible things. It's all, we just blame sleep, or the lack of sleep, I mean.
Yes. They actually said, one article I read said that if you go without sleep for a certain period of time, it's actually like you're drunk.
Oh, what?
So when we're like loopy and we can't respond to things correctly and we cannot think straight, the little bit that I read says that's actually when your brain like solidifies memories and just kind of processes things. And so no wonder we get so crazy feeling and we can't even remember like our keys on the counter when we go to the car because we're just exhausted. And it has a very real impact on our ability to not only survive, but thrive.
Yeah. Mom brain. Don't they say it like everyone's like, oh, it's right after you have a baby. I'm like, no, mom brain is your entire life. And now we know it is probably due to lack of sleep.
So Laura, what do you feel like? Like, how would you describe you on like a little bit of sleep? Not much sleep.
I don't even know if I want to admit it. Irritable, cranky. I don't know. I like always play that game with my kids where I'm like, oh, let's take a nap together and see who can be the quietest. And mommy's just going to close her eyes right here. And I see how long, you know, I can get these like itty bitty naps in. But definitely, yeah, going without sleep. My daughter had colic. I've shared a little bit before on the show. And that was a true season for me of just absolute desperation. Like, so lost and so alone and crying pretty much all day. And it was just like, I dreaded the nights. Like, I think every mom kind of, when that newborn stage, you go through that period of just really dreading going into your room. Like I don't know, Emily, did you ever feel like this? Where you're like, I don't want to go in our room because that just means a crying baby all night, you know?
Oh, no.
And like certain seasons of motherhood, I feel like that's just been really, really hard. And it feels like it's an endless cycle you're never going to get out of, but you do.
Yes. And I think that's one of the reasons why we can feel like things like sleep training or just talking about sleep amongst other mom friends can be kind of a hot button topic, because we feel like legitimate envy when somebody else's child is sleeping really well through the night and ours isn't. Or maybe if, like you said, you've gone through a season of like just sleeplessness and then your child is sleeping really well and you just employed this amazing sleep training method, you can actually feel pride whenever you hear your friend complaining and you're like, oh, I was so there a few months ago, but
all you need to do is these 15 steps and then you'll be like me.
Yeah. And I think there's like there's a legitimate kind of panic and frustration over this real physical need that we have. And it's hard because there's not a simple solution. I think if you look at different cultures across all of time, there's different standards for even what it means to have a child that is sleeping well. So there isn't a straightforward, again, there's no passage in the Bible about sleep training your children.
Oh, come on, Proverbs, come on.
But God does speak to that, and the gospel does apply. So let's go there. It's Risen Motherhood.
Here we go. All right. So I think it's interesting to note that there isn't necessarily explicit proof as to whether or not Adam and Eve were created to sleep, at least in the same way that we know sleep as today. But we do know they were created to rest, just like God did on the seventh day. We talked about this a little bit on the self-care episode, which I think was just our previous episode that you can check out. You know, the first time that sleep is really mentioned in the creation story is when God puts Adam into a deep sleep. He removes the rib and he creates Eve, as we know. But it's not exactly the same type of sleep as we know today. But we do know that in creation, Adam and Eve, they had human limitations and they weren't like God. They were definitely like us. Mm-hmm. And we can look to God and know one really amazing thing about him is he doesn't need any sleep. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. Psalms 121:4 talks about that. So we know that rest is a way to image God as he did, but he doesn't actually need the sleep, which is a great relief to serve a God who doesn't need sleep.
Yeah. Can you imagine? He's getting so much done while we're sleeping.
God's on break. Wouldn't that be crazy?
So after the fall, after Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God and sin just stained everything, we know that we do need sleep now. We are needy and dependent in everything we do. And I think it's really, really interesting that for around a third of the day, every day, we have to do nothing but lay in bed. Oh. God keeps everything going. And it's a reminder of our limitations and our temptation towards pride. And so I think sleep is a gift. I think in Psalm 127, 1-2, yeah, it actually says, oh, he gives to his beloved sleep. So he talks about it as a gift and it's a time of restoration. I think that's really, really interesting, this idea that like our bodies are experiencing some level of restoration when they sleep. Woohoo, that's one of our gospel words. But in the fall, now we can actually sometimes idolize sleep. We can worship it and want it in a selfish way, just so we can check out of our responsibilities or so that we don't have to run to God. But we can also just be really prideful in our avoidance of it and thinking that we can always just go, go, go. So there's definitely lots of ways we can sin in relation to sleep.
That's right. But it's so wonderful that we can take great hope in redemption, because Christ came to save us from that pride that we experience or that worship of sleep that we experience, really just to save us from the curse of sin and our slavery to it. So Jesus came and he lived a perfect life, but he also lived as a man who needed sleep just like we do. He slept and he rested. He didn't do everything that he could have done while he was here on earth, but he did do all that the Father commanded him to do. So we have great hope as he died for our sins, even related to sleep. And we have our selfish desires for it, our manipulation of time and resources to try to get it, our idolization of it. And Jesus paid for this penalty so that we can rest in that and be free in Christ, both from when we strive to do so many things and do it all, or when we actually take time to rest and we literally lay down our head at night on the pillow. We know that we don't have to be anxious because God is in control. And that is just something that for me, I really struggle at night when I do even get a chance to sleep. Oftentimes it is plagued by anxiousness. So this is a really, like, for me, a huge hope that I remember that God isn't taking a break. He isn't resting, and he is continuing to move all things towards his eternal plan.
Mm-hmm. And just a little note on restoration, someday we're not going to be exhausted anymore.
Woo-hoo!
Praise the Lord. And I think that is just something we can look ahead to, that while we are living this life and we are having to sacrifice for the sake of others in order to love them and show them mercy, that we can know this isn't our forever reality, and that someday Jesus is going to come back. He's going to set everything right. He's going to make everything new again. And we are going to be rejoicing in heaven, not tired, not stumbling over our words because we can't remember anything, but just fully awake in him. So just to bring this down to earth a little bit, what does this mean for us today? So this show, although we kind of, when Laura and I were thinking of this show, it kind of started about a conversation about sleep training. But as we started thinking about it more, we're like, the real underlying issue is just, what do moms do with sleeplessness and kind of the stressors around that? The gospel speaks to how our hearts should be oriented as we go without sleep, whether it's a few hours here and there or like a really, really long season, because children have health problems sometimes, or disabilities, or even they have colic. So that is really where the gospel applies.
Yeah. So we're going to tick through a few points here of taking that gospel down a level. And I think the first piece is we can now trust God and accept that sleep is a good gift from him and a real physical need, instead of trying to act like we're superhuman or that we are like God. Just recognizing that as our limits. And so we do need sleep. That is a reality. And we love others better when we are rested. So it is okay to desire sleep. It's okay to take practical steps to be able to sleep in a healthy way. Naps are okay. Like, I feel like, especially for me, that's something where I do struggle with taking naps to not feel selfish or feel like I'm not being productive. So for some personalities and some people, that's can be really hard. And I think it's important to remember, within certain boundaries, like, those things are okay. Go to bed at 8 p.m. and don't feel guilty about it when you have a newborn or other seasons. Like, those things you don't have to be a martyr.
Yeah. And you're not more holy for like forgoing more sleep because you're going to like push it out and grind it out. And
that's right. Cause you're only made holy in Christ. So you know that this isn't going to make you become a better mom somehow because you're gutting it out on no sleep.
Exactly. The second thing we wanted to mention is we need to trust God when we can't sleep, and we need to give it up sometimes for the sake of loving others. So this is really hard. We talked about how Jesus did sleep because we need it, but he also laid down his rights in order to show mercy to others. And sometimes he might have wanted to sleep or rest, but he wanted to do the will of the Father. And so we have to remember, I have to remind myself of this, that it is merciful to get up and change a diaper in the middle of the night for a child who cannot take care of themselves, to feed a helpless, hungry baby, or to be in bed with a sick child and be up stroking their head. So these are all sacrifices that image God's love for us and show mercy to others.
That's right. And the third point is, we believe that God will and can sustain us no matter what happens, no matter what season we are in. We can depend on him in all things, even in those really, really difficult situations. And so there are times where you will not be getting the sleep that you want or that you need. And there will be times where you will get that. But in those seasons when you're not getting it, maybe medical needs, dietary needs, or pregnancy insomnia, postpartum insomnia, colic, we could go on and on for probably some of these reasons or seasons. But in these situations, remember that God will sustain you. So there are scripture after scripture after scripture that talks about this, of just casting all your anxieties on God, for he cares for you, casting your burdens on the Lord. He sustains you. We can list a few of these in the show notes since we don't have time to go through them today, but the verses go on forever. And remember that God delights in helping the weak and needy and those who know their need for him.
Yes, definitely. We can list some of those references because they're very encouraging. And then we just wanted to make a quick note about gospel application to sleep training. The point of the show is not to give like a bunch of practical examples. No, no, no.
And we're not telling you how we work with our children or what position we have on sleep training, because there is freedom in Christ within boundaries. phrase where I am on this,
yes,
on this topic. So here's just some general, the classic RZA motherhood style that we do is general guidelines to think about when considering methods to help your child sleep.
Yeah. So first of all, Laura already said it, like, we have freedom in Christ. There again is no scripture reference on sleep training. So God does not have a formula for it. It's going to vary by time and culture and family situation, mm-hmm, and child needs and the million things. Yes. And I would just say, Laura and I would both admit, every single one of our kids has been different.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we have 8 kids between us, and all of our kids, we've done different methods. And even on one child, we've tried different things. So remember that no matter what kind of method that you choose to use, that it all goes back to the heart. So it can be very easy if you find success or if you find failure to think and feel a lot of different things, thinking that you're superior to others maybe, or judging a mom who is doing a different method than you, even giving off a certain attitude about your method and your language and your advice or your talking with others. So just being really careful to not generalize or making another mom feel shame or badly because her child is sleeping in a different way than yours, or she's employing a different method than you. And also just to speak to the mom who's struggling with making a decision right now, or who's struggling in the midst of a child who is having difficulty sleeping, like, remember to give yourself grace and give the method grace in the process. Like, I think just remembering where your identity is found, it's not found in the way that you sleep train. It's not found in the way that your child ends up actually sleeping. Your child is not a robot. They're not going to live by the handbook. So we just want to encourage that mom who is really struggling right now that this is a hard season, but Christ has not left you alone. Mm-hmm. So keep rehearsing the gospel to yourself and remember that God is using even this to prune and sharpen your heart towards Him.
Yes. So persevere. It is okay to want to teach and train our children towards healthy habits and sleep, just like food and healthy food is one of their basic needs. So go forth, mom. But again, like Laura said, don't put your identity there. And we want to be willing to lay down what we need sometimes for the sake of loving others. So just to end on another note, like, pray for sleep. That's okay to pray for. Cry out to the Lord when you're exhausted. Get advice from others that you trust. Maybe even look for moments where you are wrongly putting your hope in sleep instead of putting your hope in Christ. And trust that God can sustain you even in your tiredness, because true rest is found in Christ alone. So we hope that that gives you at least something to think about while you're rubbing your tired eyes. Hopefully you didn't fall asleep while listening to this, but...
oh dear.
Wake up! Definitely you can find more resources and verses and all kinds of good stuff on our show notes at risenmotherhood.com. And you can check us out on social media at risenmotherhood on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Thanks, guys.